I had the privilege of sharing with our band and our youth band. And they're practicing on Wednesdays, doing really good, and they are leading us off in worship this morning, okay? And that's just cool. It's a great thing to see your children growing in the Lord, all right?
So let's be supportive of them. And y'all, you ain't got, they're good. It's good stuff. But just be glad as a church. It's a good day. It's a good thing. All right? Let's worship together.
Yeah.
this morning we're going to have a couple transition points like that, and I just want to take time. We're going to have a little time of prayer. We're going to pray for Miss Patricia's mama. We're going to pray for Mike Neighbors. Both of these have physical conditions, one with cancer, one with a something we don't know yet, but it's like a Parkinson's-like thing. But they both asked for prayer, and y'all listen. We're just going to say, but if you have somebody in your mind that needs prayer for healing, would you just call their name out? Just say their name. This is kind of part of the prayer request. If you know somebody needs healing, just call their name out.
Mama.
Thank you. Anybody? All right, let's go to the Lord. Amen. I'm gonna pray, but if anybody comes in your brain, just lift them up. We're just gonna have a prayer for healing right quick before we start, okay? It'd be all right. Let's pray. Yes. Kenny Mitchell too. Okay. Just now, anybody else, just you can come call them out to the Lord as we go. I'm gonna lead us in prayer, but if it comes out, just keep lifting it to God. Father God, I thank you for how you love us. And Lord, just when there's these requests for healing, and there's a lot of them, and then we heard all the names coming across the congregation, there's a great need for healing. And I pray to you, I'm not a healer. It's in your providence to not make me one. But I can pray, and I know you're the healer. You're the great physician. And so what we can do, all of us who are not healers, we can lift these folks up and be faithful in prayer. And so, Father, we ask you, we're not demanding because you're God and we're not, but we're like children coming to our Father saying, Daddy, would you please fix this? Would you please heal them? Would you help them? We know you can. You are our creator, our sustainer, our savior, our healer. It's all possible in Christ. And so we ask for you to do that. We ask in the cases where maybe there's not hope, or in the cases where there's a lot of hope, whatever it is, we ask that if it's by medicine or whether it's by miracle, we don't mind. It's all in your hand. We ask that you'd heal those that we love. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To you.
So, today's Veterans Day. It's not Veterans Day today, but it's an observation of it we had yesterday. And I don't ordinarily do this. Y'all know I don't get political. But I think it's kind of a shame when to be proud of your country, it's a political thing. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a Christian first and foremost, and my citizenship is in heaven. But secondly, I'm a proud citizen of the United States of America. And what I want to say, first and foremost, I know that America ain't what it is without people who are willing to fight, to lay down and to fight, to go because they love their folks and their family and their hometown and fight. So if you're a veteran here today, you don't got to stand up. I don't want to embarrass you, but raise your hand up and let us just thank you. If you're a veteran, just let us say thank you. Thank you. What I'm going to ask you to do, and you don't have to. Remember, this is a church where Jesus Christ is Lord. But if it's in your heart to do, I'm going to hold this flag, and I'm going to salute like we do, and I'm going to ask if you would stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance with me in honor of our veterans and in thanks to God for this country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And Father God, thank you. Thank you for a beautiful place that we have to live. Thank you for the freedoms to preach the gospel, the freedoms to love your neighbor as yourself and to love you first and foremost. Thank you, Father, for what we have. Thank you for those who fought and died. Even thank you, Lord, for those who hate and protest, who still enjoy the liberties and the justice. It's for them, just like your grace sometimes gets trampled. But Father, we are thankful. And I just want to say thank you for the country we live in. We give you all the credit and all the glory, and we love you, Lord. Help the veterans, especially those who have been wounded, who are hurt mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I'm reminded in that song that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. And I pray that for the veterans too. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, they're doing all right. They're doing all right. Nani's class, you ready to break? Ready to break? And look, dog, hey, give them a hand before they leave. Look, there they go. They did good. It's good to see everybody. Yeah. Any children? This is first through sixth grade, room 12. First through sixth grade, room 12. And then Nani's class is three to pre-K. Yeah, which I think is 3 to 4, but sounds better when you say pre-K. Sounds like it's a bigger span. You know, it's just how you say it. You know, sometimes it's how you say it. I don't know if y'all might not have noticed. I got my mom with me here. She got in yesterday, and that's always special to me if it's not special to y'all. It ought to be special to y'all because I'm a mama's boy. I wouldn't be here without her. You know what I'm saying? And so just always glad to have her when she's in town. My kids call her Vivi. So if you ever hear my kids talking about their Vivi, that's their Vivi. Came from her name is Veronica, and she wanted to be called grandmother. So when Joshua, our first child, was born, she said, "Call me grandmother." I said, "I ain't calling you grandmother. My kids ain't calling you grandmother. This ain't gonna work. We're just not that formal. And we couldn't imagine. It interrupted every sentence. And then my grandmother, she brought us nice croissants from the, you know, from the lowlands. No. So then we decided Grande V. Grande V. That was the. We had a shirt made with Joshua. Picture on the shirt. It says my Grande V and me. But that didn't stick either. It just became VV. I tell you all that because it has nothing to do with my sermon. And sometimes I just like to talk. You know what I'm saying? We're just hanging out right now. Just you and me. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. But I do say all that to say my mom's here and I'm proud of it. That's it. Brad, you got your mama here too. You're proud of it too, aren't you? That's right, Miss Diane. Anybody else proud to have their mom here? All right, yeah. Kim, yeah. Lena, all right. Way to go, mama, yeah. It's not even Mother's Day. Is anybody proud of their dad being here or what? You know, we got some dads here too. All right, we'll say hey to them too. But you get another day. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew. You might have, I noticed somebody brought to my attention there was two handouts in the bulletin. You're going to want the handout that has across the top, do not fear them. Do not fear them. If you have another, like, sermon outline handout, you've been fooled. There are counterfeits. It was good, but that's from my Grace series, I think, so it was way back. But this one is, do not fear them. That's today's message. It's been brought to you by the letter Q. No, I'm just kidding. I just remember Sesame Street. Maybe it's because my mom's here. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples. They're actually making the transition from a disciple to an apostle. A disciple is someone who follows Christ. They've come to see that in Jesus there is everything that they need. They've come to believe. And they're following. An apostle, though, is different than a disciple. The words are different. Disciple means somebody who's following your teaching. Apostle means someone who is sent out. Jesus is sending these guys out into the world, and he's giving them a talk. I would say it's a pep talk, but it's almost more like a literally, like, come to Jesus talk about the realities of the world and what they're going to face in a world that doesn't want to hear the Christian message. He's sending them out into a world that's not going to care how they treat them. He's sending them out into a world that has already called him Beelzebub and a prince of demons, and they're going to call them the same and worse. He's sending them into a dangerous world with a message of light and love. He's sending them out as sheep amidst wolves. It literally says that in this passage. We're not going to read that whole thing. We're going to pick up in verse 16 because he gives some instructions that I think is so important for anyone who's going to be sent out anywhere in the name of Jesus. If you leave your house having prayed, Lord, use me this day for your glory and for your mission, and you go out into this world, you need to hear this message. after the things that happened last week in Sutherland Springs, Texas, when you gather up in the church house to sing praise to God and give Him the glory due His name and to have your family with you, you need to hear this message, okay? If you get sent out and you go out in the name of Jesus anywhere, you need to hear this message. Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 26 through verse 33. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that your great love saves us. You've called, you've ordained, and you've sent your Son to be the means of of salvation for us. But Father, you also have given that message to those you've sent out into a dangerous world. We know of these men who you first shared this with, many of them, all but one that we know have died painfully. We know that even in the world we live in, that those who carry the gospel in certain parts of this world are in grave danger and are sought out to be made examples of. And we feel that loss of those who, in a church, not far, not really far from us at all, same denomination, same Sunday morning thing, and we feel it. But Father, I'm so proud, I'm so glad of who you are and what you do through us. I know that that church is meeting again this Sunday. And I know in order to do that, they had to face some fear. Would you help us face fear and to conquer it? Would you help us to stand boldly in the name of Christ and to go wherever you tell us to go, to say whatever you tell us to say, to give whatever you tell us to give? Because Father, you have us and we're yours. Help us, Lord. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 26, there's just a general order. It's imperative. It's given as a direction. It's given as the standard and the goal. He says, therefore, do not fear them. Period. Period. He doesn't give any reason or anything at that time. We're going to look at three reasons that he gives later. But I want you to know and understand that the God who created us and died on the cross to save us, He would not have us to live in fear. He would not have us to cower down because there's a threat. He wouldn't have us to fall into the trap of the fear of man. And I'm going to tell you, that happens in a lot of different ways. Can I tell you, almost every prejudice that people have in their heart and brain is based on fear of man. I'm afraid of what they look like. I'm afraid of those kind of people. I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid of those. The fear of man is a trap. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare. A snare is a trap to trap animals, to catch you. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And I'm going to talk about that, what happened in Texas last week some, okay? And I'm going to tell you this right now. We have a lot of tissues up here. And that might be relevant to you later on in this message. But y'all, by not looking at stuff that happens in the world, don't protect us from it. by being ignorant of the dangers don't protect you from the dangers. The dangers of falling into the fear of man that brings prejudices, or the dangers of the fear of man that brings disobedience to God. How many times do people make the excuse, well, I didn't say something because I was afraid. I didn't go there because I was afraid. I didn't know what to say because I was scared. Y'all, listen. God has not intended His people to live in fear of them. I thought that was interesting in this Jesus' statement. Do not fear them. Who are we talking about? Who's the them? Them. Those who may want to hurt you. Those who may be different. Those who, whoever might be opposed to Christ. Whoever might be an enemy or a supposed enemy. Don't fear them. I think we could even broaden that out to say this. When you truly understand who God is, you don't need to fear anyone. My mom, in her wisdom, when I was on a wrestling team, we used to have sayings written on the back of our varsity jackets. Did y'all used to do that around here? And you'd have a patch, and you know, you'd have, so I had my varsity patches for football, for wrestling. I had one for track because I'm so fast. And I wasn't that fast, but my varsity coach was like, you need to be on the track team. I'm like, I can't run. He's like, I know, they do other things on track. I didn't even know they did other things. He's like, throw this thing. I'm like, brr. So I got the letter and those three things, and on the back of my varsity jacket, it said, respect all, fear none. Can I tell you, I believe that's how God would have us to live. Respect. But don't fall in the trap of fear. Don't get paralyzed by fear. You ever have one of those paralyzing dreams? I might be the only one, but see if you can follow this. Every once in a while, you'd have a nightmare. And it's freaking you out, but you're asleep and you don't even know that you're freaked out except for in your dream. And like whoever it is, they're on your tail and you know you're about to get it and you're like freaked out. You're like yelling, but nothing's coming out. And you can't move because you're asleep and you're paralyzed with fear. Yet, in our waking, conscious life, there's things that we know God would have us do. I believe there's people in here who know what God would have them do. They know where God would have them go. Yet, in the same way, it's like they're paralyzed. They don't go. They don't start. They don't give. They don't pray. They're paralyzed. Their voice has been muted. They're not saying anything, and it's all based on fear. When Jesus sent His church out at the very beginning, and these disciples became apostles, those who follow Jesus who are now sent out by Jesus, which is the natural order that He has for all the church. Let me just remind you of that. When we think of the apostles, there were the apostles, these founding apostles. But can I tell you, He sent out the whole church. You go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I'll be with you. Why do you tell them that? Why in the Great Commission, when He's sending out the whole church, why does He end that passage? And lo, I don't know why I always quote it from the King James. Lo is such a cool word. Behold, I'll be with you. Lo, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Why do you think He said that? Do you think maybe He was addressing the potential fear that was rising up into those who were being sent? And the potential fear that would rise up into the hearts of those centuries later who would be sent out in the name of Jesus? We think about the Apostle Paul. Was the Apostle Paul scared? It's a yes or no question. You can answer out loud. Ready? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Anybody else think? Anybody think no? Well, if you think it, just think it and don't say it, because he was scared. Christ came and visited, which was just kind of a cool thing. He spoke to Paul when Paul was in Corinth, and you know what his message was? Don't be afraid. Open your mouth. Speak what I've told you to speak. Seems like that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Don't be afraid of them. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it. Whatever I tell you in your ear, preach it. Whatever you hear me say, whatever good word I give you, share it. Don't be afraid. Don't huddle up in fear. What will they think? What will they do? Will I offend them? There's a million questions you can ask that all enter into the fear bucket. But the one question that should matter is, does Christ want me to do this? And that should outweigh everything else that goes in the fear bucket. Don't be afraid. Now, he does give some reasons. I'm going to break down these three reasons. There might be others in there. I don't even address the one where he says all things will be revealed. In other words, I believe this. I believe God is always watching and that God always knows, because I believe in a sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And so if I'm walking with him, I ought not be afraid, because everything's going to be revealed. And even if people say I'm bad or I'm this or I'm that, I will be vindicated as I walk with him, because all things will be revealed. That should bring some comfort. That should be one of the reasons, but I didn't write it on my sheet. Maybe I should have, since I spent time talking about it. But I want to give you these three reasons. First is the uniqueness of God in the limits of everybody else. God is unique. Why don't we have to be afraid? Because God can do what other people cannot do. God can offer you what other people cannot offer you. God can bring judgments that no one else can bring also. And when we look at verse 28, he repeats part of our slogan here, do not fear. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but not the soul. Can I tell you something? There's one person, one being who has the power of eternal life and eternal death. And it's no random, crazy, atheistic, computer junkie gunman living anywhere in any neighborhood. It's no crazy fanatic who's going to run a bus and run over people on a bike path. They don't have the power of eternal life and eternal death. Just one. Only one. And that is the Lord our God. That's it. He has the power of to give eternal life and also to assign eternal judgment. This verse, I don't want us to miss it. You know I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher very often. But he says, don't fear the one who can kill the body but not kill the soul, but rather fear him, the one, singular him, that can kill both soul and body in hell. That's who we ought to reserve our reverence, our fear, our respect for. That's why obeying Christ should outweigh everything else that we put on the scales. Any kind of fear, any kind of hesitation, any kind of pride that might make us not follow Christ ought to be taken out and outweighed by the fact that there's no one like God. There's no one like God. I almost feel like Dorothy clicking my heels together. There's no one like home. There's no place like home. But y'all, there's no one like God. God is unique. There might be some scary people in this world. There might be some people who can do some scary things to you. You might think of some scary scenario. I don't know how scarier it gets for church-going people than to think some idiot walk in through the door with an automatic weapon and start shooting and reload his clip and shoot some more. That's horrible. But I can tell you this. That guy was limited in what he could do. He exercised all the harm that he can exercise. Then his life expired. Now, he's looking into the one who can not only do something with your body, but also your soul for eternity. Now, the judgment, the reality of the judge sets in. Can I tell you something about that guy? We look at the scenario in Texas as if the victims were the ones sitting in that pew. They were victims of an idiot who went violent. But can I tell you, that guy had it all backwards if he thought he was the scary one. Because now he's meeting the scary one. The Bible says it's this. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that fella just found out the reality that there is one who can kill both body and soul in hell. And I don't know that guy's eternal stuff. I'm not the judge. I just know he's met the judge. And I know there's somebody a whole lot scarier than any terrorist that walks this planet. There's somebody a whole lot scarier than anybody else, and it's the God who created It's the God who gave His Son Jesus Christ to save, and it's the God who's going to sit on the great white throne of judgment and say, this is how it goes, and brings an end to all this. That's who we ought to respect and fear. And can I tell you, when you respect and fear Him, when you fear Him, you don't have to fear anybody else. You don't have to. You might choose to. You might fall into the trap of being scared about what people think of you. That's just vanity talking. I don't want them to think I'm a freak. I don't want them to think I'm a religious fanatic. I don't want them to think worse of me. Who cares? What does God think of you? Well, God loves me anyways. He does love you anyway. But you ought to obey Him. You ought to walk with Him. He'll walk with you. So reason number one not to fear them is because no one's like God. Reason number two is that there's an immense value that God has placed on His people. There's an immense value that God has placed on His people. He says it here. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He says, even when the smallest, most seemingly insignificant creature in creation, He uses sparrows. Not that, I mean, we're animal-loving people in this country and stuff. We're like, even sparrows are nice. You know, the sparrows, they come around and they do, and they made the dress for Cinderella, didn't they? They make the dress for somebody. I forget who it was. Maybe it was the mice that made that dress. I don't know. But weird small creatures, we have sympathy on all of them. God's point's not to say we ought to hate sparrows. He's just saying you could buy two sparrows for one penny. They're not worth a lot. Yet when one of them dies, a half a penny's worth of sparrows die. God is aware. And He's watching. And He knows. Maybe think of that next time you kill half a sparrow. Anyway, half a penny's worth of sparrows. But point is this, He cares. And then He says this, you're worth a lot more than that. You're worth a lot more than that. In our country, we have this weird self-esteem problem, and we think the solution is building ourselves up instead of looking at the God who's valued us by placing His image on us through creation. You're worth more. He loves you. He loves me. Now, let's put that to the test. If He loves His people and has such an immense value on them, why did He allow what happened last Sunday to happen? Why is He going to allow it to happen next Sunday somewhere in this world that's nasty and mean to happen if He has such a high value on His people? You know, that's what people are asking. These people are going to church. They should, you know, they're supposed to be God's people, His homies. They ain't supposed to get shot up like that, like dogs execution style. How is He protecting His people that He values so much? It's a valid question, I think. But this is what I know. This is what I know about the God who I know and I serve and I love and who loves me. His love, it really does last forever. His life that He gives, the promise of the gospel, it's not just long life. The promise of the gospel is eternal life. And though sin may rise up, and when sin rises up, it rises up with death. But you know what? Grace rises up and abounds even more. It abounds higher than sin. It abounds higher than death. And grace brings with it eternal life. If those folks who died in that place were believers, they went on to an eternal home. They are with the Savior whom they professed by faith and they love, and He has secured them. What if they would have died years later of some other disease? Does God not care about them if they die when they're older and diseased? Do we only think God doesn't care if something tragic happens? No, if you die a long life, and you're a believer, you're going to get to be with God because of His glory, because of His providence, because of His love and what He gave you in Christ, eternal life. Whether you die old or you die young, He values us so much, He made a place for us. Jesus, trying to get this through to His apostles in John 14, because by the time we get to John 14, they were apostles, they were being sent out. He said this, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many rooms, and I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I'll receive you, that where I am, there you may be too. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. So when that guy came in and he did what he did, he sent some people to the Father's house. You know how much you got to value somebody and let them in your house? I don't even got to go back to the old biblical standard. The biblical times, the New Testament times, a Jewish person not only would not let some people in their house, but they would not go into some people's house. They would not mix like that. Because they thought you might pollute it. It was a scandal when Jesus was preaching and that woman who was a woman who they said was a prostitute came in and started to cry and wash his feet with her tears and wipe his feet with her hair. It was a scandal. If he knew what kind of woman this is, he wouldn't let her touch him. And matter of fact, why is she even in my house? But think about the love of God and the value he put on us, where he said, not only will I let you be in my house, but it's an everlasting house. It's a forever house. It's eternal life. Look, he loves you and me. And whether you die of old age, and this is going to sound weird, but I'm going to hope all y'all die of old age somewhere in the future, right? Or if your life isn't like that and it's cut short, can I tell you something? The God who knows when one sparrow dies, he hasn't forgotten you, no matter if you're old or young, whether it's sudden or it's elongated. He knows who you are, where you are, and he loves you, and he's made provision for you in Christ. There's no reason not to trust the God who loves you so much. There's no reason not to yield yourself to the God who's made an eternal home for you. Trust him. You're worth more than many sparrows to him. The third reason not to fear, and I've been alluding to it, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's important to our relationship with God and our witness with God. It's important. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. Y'all listen, I was going to name this sermon, Don't Deny Him. Don't deny him. And it got me thinking, why do people deny him? Why did Peter deny him three times? Even though Peter was already an apostle, he was sent out. He was given this talk. And yet, to get entry into the courthouse, in the courtroom, and not be, you know, have a big deal. Somebody said, hey, you're one of his disciples. They said, aren't you one of his disciples? No, not me. Deny. In order to stay by the fire pit because it was cold on that pre-Easter morning, on that first Good Friday night, it was cold and he wanted to stay by the fire. Aren't you one of his disciples? No. And then we see the fear, clearest of all, to save his skin, because earlier in the garden he had cut a man's ear off. Y'all remember that? Remember Peter doing that? All you Bible scholars? He said, shing! And he wasn't aiming for his ear. I don't know anybody who aims at somebody's ear. He was swinging he was home run swinging for that dude's head. And he missed, and it chopped off the dude's ear. Well, the cousin of that dude sees Peter and says, wait a minute, I know you. You're one of his disciples. You just cut off my cousin's ear. You know what Peter said? Bring it on, sucker! I'm standing with Jesus. What you gonna do with me? I fear God and I don't fear no man. Woo! That's the Hollywood version. That ain't what he did. He went, that wasn't me. Don't know what you're talking about. Don't got a clue. Wasn't me. Some other dude. I got one of them faces that look like everybody else. He was scared. What's this guy going to do to me? Now, he knows I tried to mortally wound. I tried to kill his cousin. Now he's staring me in the face. I'm scared for my life. And so I denied Jesus in order to keep my life. I'm scared for my loss of comfort. So I denied Jesus to keep my comfort. I'm scared that I might not get in the group that I want to be a part of and do all that. So I denied Jesus to be in that group. Fear will make you deny Christ. But can I tell you, don't fear. Don't fear them. Fear only him. Jesus' warning is stout. Now what happened to Peter? Let's talk about when believers deny Christ due to fear. What happens then? Is it all loss? Do you hang it up? Eat, drink, for tomorrow you die? No, you come right back to him. Do you remember what Jesus did with Peter? He restores him three times. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? He's like, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then you go feed my lambs and feed my sheep. If you've denied Christ due to fear of anything, anything, you just come and bring it back to him. He knows how to restore you all the way. Now, we're going to watch a video. Miss Kit, do you have it queued up? Now, before you hit play, do we need Bert or somebody back there to run the video, or do you have it? I want you to stop it right at 1 minute and 44 seconds. All right, Jamie just woke up. He was laying down back there. I want you to stop it, but I want to give you this warning. And I had to play this at the end because I don't think I could have preached after seeing it. And I don't know how it's going to affect you, but here's the invitation. This is the invitation. We're going to let this video be the song. Don't be afraid. Don't fear them. I look at those babies, at the little kids, and they remind me of my kids. And I'm going to tell you this, God sends us into a dangerous world. But he gives us eternal life. There's no reason for us to back down. The temptation amongst God's people is to back down when the crap hits the fan. And I'm going to tell you, that's hard for me to watch. I think about that pastor who's preaching there this Sunday. And I think about what it means to have your congregation mowed down, and about all that we've preached on the goodness of God and how everybody might be tempted to jump ship or be like, I'm not doing this God thing, but can I tell you something? God is the only one who can keep you and your children safe. The only one. Only one. We do our best. We got men here who are watching. We have a security team, and we've had one for some time. And I'm glad for them, and I'm proud of them, but they'll tell you just as much as I'm telling you. There ain't but one who can keep you and your loved ones truly safe, whether that's in church or whether that's in Walmart where the two shootings ago was. Or whether you're on Adams Street in our neighborhood. There's not but one who can keep you safe. Don't ever, ever forget it. And when I watched that video and I realized that this guy mowed down families. Your love for your kids can't keep them safe. Your love for your kids can't keep them safe. I don't care if you love them to the moon and back. Can't keep them safe. Period. Your weapons can't keep them safe. Your strength, your smarts can't keep them safe. Us as a community holding hands together, singing kumbaya, can't keep them safe. But God, God can. And for that reason, we don't fear them who can kill the body, but not the soul. Y'all get me? All right. We're going to pray and we'll have our offering. Look, that was our time of invitation, but I don't want to rob anybody if they feel like they got a time where they need to pray. If you need to pray, or if you need to blow your nose, there's Kleenex up here. But this is what I want to tell you. Don't stop because of the fear. Don't let the fear turn over to anger, which is another thing that fear does. Besides turning into prejudice, it a lot of times turns into anger. I was so angry this week. I told some of the people on Sunday what I thought. Just vented on Wednesday, rather, in my anger. But I'm going to tell you something. Let the fear just vanish away and put your faith in God, the only one who can make a difference. Okay? All right. So if you need to pray, if you need to respond to God, you can. The band doesn't know what they need to do. You guys come down. Y'all come on. Do y'all have an invitation song? Okay, this is the invitation. If you need to let go of any fear, this is the song. If you need to come and say, I've trusted everything but Christ. Because that happens. Let's just be realistic. In this world, you might try everything but Jesus. You might have 50 locks on your door, thinking that that's going to keep somebody safe. You've got all this. You might have tried everything but Jesus. It's time, if you've never tried Jesus, it's time for you to say, I'm going to surrender my life to Christ, if that's who you need to. Or if there's other particular fear or anything else, God might have, it's just time to let it down. Fear over losing your kids, anxiety of things being different. You just need to let that down and let God have control of it. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. That's the invitation. This invitation is for you right now. Father, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Calling, have you come?
I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward for the morning offering. And in light of these things, I'm reminded of a lyric we heard earlier, and that is that earth really has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Okay, and I think heaven, there's going to be a lot of healing there, according to the scripture. It's going to happen there, and so don't forget that God has us. Father God, I pray as we take this offering that you'd be pleased to be an offering. Whoever gives it, they would give it for one singular reason. All of us would give because that you are worthy, and that we are cheerful in giving a portion back of what you've provided. You provide our very life, and so what you ask is small in comparison. Lord, we offer back in thanksgiving and cheerfulness. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, next Sunday, we're gonna have a good day, all right? We're planning a good day. We're going to have baby dedications. We're going to have baptisms. We're going to hear from the Gideon's ministry. It's going to be a good day in the Lord. I just ask you all, come out. Come out in support of your church and support of your family and enjoy. Y'all, one of the things I think of when I think of all this mess is this. Don't take for granted the good days that we get. We act like we can just skip good days if we're too tired or if it's this and that. But when it's a good day and something good's going to happen, drag yourself out of bed. Get down to church or get to the place where all your family's going to be. Don't skip those birthday parties, those anniversaries and reunions and church days. Don't skip them. There's going to be a time when you're going to wish you could have got together one more time with somebody in that group. Get together with them all while you can. Enjoy it while you can. This is a gift from God. All right. I think that's it. Look in your bulletin for all the other announcements and those things. I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray for us and we'll break. Lord, be with us. Keep us. Keep our eyes focused on you. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready?